What is my purpose in life? And what will make me happy? What will make me satisfied? What will make me fulfilled in my life? And everyone, don't we? We ponder from time to time about what is the meaning of our life and the meaning of life. And over the years, I've got to hear a lot of people tell me what they think the meaning of life is. So people say things like, I think life is about love. Or others have said, maybe not have actually said it, but they think life is about having a nice car. Or others have said, life is about family and children. I've been in houses where it's clear that life is about having pets. Or people have said, life is about friends. Or life is about working hard during the week and taking a break on the weekend. Well, I've heard people say too that life is about retirement and working towards it. Or life is about your next vacation and planning your next trip. Or life is about putting some money aside and having a bit of security in the bank there so that you can live. Or others have said, look, life is about making a contribution to society. Or others have said life is about making society better, particularly in world peace. Well, we spend our time, don't we, running around looking, fulfilling our own goals furiously in our lives. And I must admit, for many of those goals that I've achieved in my life, when I got there, it wasn't as what I thought it'd be. I remember the first time I got an education degree, and I was working towards getting this degree, and I got it. That was a piece of paper, obviously. I thought, is that it? Is that what I've been working towards? This thing? And we see that life is not fulfilling. Well, actually, there's less substance to it if we just pursue it in our own means. And over the years, I've had the privilege, friends, of being with people at the hospital bed. Old and new friends as they were dying. And I've been there when it's been children or young people or elderly people, and to support them while they're taking their last breath as they cross over from this life to be with Jesus is really a very, very emotional experience. And I know, Phil, you would have had that experience on many occasions. And so, and as I do that, And as I've conducted hundreds of funerals over the years, I'm dealing with grieving families and friends, and there's something in it with me as I do that. I'm not just sort of, you know, out there serving the people. There's something that happens to me when I do that. And when I'm dealing with people, I'm realized over and over and over and over again that life is short, very short, and money, power, and experience don't last very long either. And each time I'm ministering with a dying or grieving person, I'm confronted that one day I too am going to die. One day that my body will be cold like that person who've just died before me. And I'll breathe my last here on earth. And I always need to focus in these times especially, well, what is my goal? What is my purpose in life? What is life all about? And as a church and as individuals here this morning, we are focused on the brevity of life. That's the first thing. In fact, the Bible says life is like a vapor. You know, it's here for a little while and just vanishes. Now, let me ask someone, Bruce. You're right in the front row. Yeah, have a cough, clear your throat. Yep, okay. Bruce, how has the last 10 years of your life gone in comparison to the 10 years before that? Is it being slower or faster? It seems to go faster. Okay. All right, now let me put a bit of paradox here. Are you as fit as you were 10 years ago as you are today? Sorry? similar. Okay, well, for most people, we're getting slower. And here's the paradox. We're running faster. Well, we think we're running faster, but we're actually physically slower. And that the time is going quicker. Now, it doesn't take much figuring out. If the last 10 years of our lives went fast, well, at least faster than the previous 10 years, if we'll predict what's the next 10 years of our life going to be like, it's going to be, you know, we're going to hit hyperspace at that point, aren't we? We're going to really speed up. Now, it doesn't take much to figure out. If life is going faster and faster and faster for us, there's going to be a time when it comes to an end. All right? And so we're quickly coming to our time here, our end of our life. And so what I'm left asking is, what is the meaning and purpose in life? And I hear a lot of people say, look, it's to get that corner office at work, or to get that bonus or promotion, or to get that beautiful spouse, the person of your dreams, or to have that gorgeous house in the cul-de-sac that you've dreamed of as well, or to have that vacation home. And friends, that's not really what life's all about. Because they will be here and gone. Now, possibly, there are some unusual books in the Bible, but probably the strangest of books in the Bible is the book of Ecclesiastes. And if read from a human perspective, it's got to be the most miserable book in the Bible, if it's read from a human perspective. It was purported to be written by Solomon, who is the greatest king in Israel and the wisest man to have ever lived. God allowed Solomon to have everything a person might want. Untold wealth, worldwide fame, absolute power over a nation, hundreds of wives, and the wisdom to manage them would be a feat. So here, Solomon had all the gold. Solomon had all the glory. Solomon had all the girls he could have wanted. And as he was in this unique position, he looked around the society he lived in, and he saw people were frantically trying to find meaning and happiness. And so he undertook this massive experiment into pursuing happiness. And he concludes, from a human perspective anyway, as he's doing this, everything is meaningless. Now, this man has incredible wisdom and knowledge. And when it came to pleasure, Solomon did not deny himself anything. And he finds himself, life, if it's just about that, is meaningless. And he uses a phrase that's chasing after the wind. And he worked hard. He had great accomplishments. He built great cities. He had enormous power. And he concluded in all this, that this is meaningless. He saw that good people often got swallowed up by the wicked. There was no justice here on earth, and the wise often went hungry, and the skillful were not necessarily wealthy. And then he concludes by coming near the end of the book. He says, look, and reading of books, he concluded, just wears himself out. And it too, there was nothing to be gained. And at the end of this great experiment, Solomon sums up by giving a saying in Ecclesiastes 12:13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Oh, so we're listening. Okay, here's his results from his experiment. He says this, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. You see, Solomon, as he's analyzed society and himself, he saw that if we try to live for ourselves, it's not going to work out. The meaning of life is not found in us, but in God. And God reveals himself in Jesus, as we know. And if we really want to find the purpose of our life and consider eternity, then eternity can only be found in Jesus. Now, let me say, I love my wife, Kim. I have my daughter here today, Catherine. I love her too. And I love my family, my children, and my grandchildren. In fact, I love being in this part of Sydney. I've lived in this part of Sydney the vast majority of my life. But I've got to say, my family and the community are part of it, as much as I love them, I know that they won't last forever. Life is unpredictable and short. Time and uncertainty have a way of messing up our plans that we have. And so Jesus, in Luke 12, tells us that passage that Matt read to us. Jesus is speaking about not worrying about the things of this life, but he says, life is more than food and the body more than clothes. That's right, isn't it? It's more than this. So you can take away my position. You can take away my family. You can take away my staff. Friends, what you cannot take away is Jesus. Jesus in my heart and in yours. That won't change. That won't be affected by the passing of time. In fact, Luke 12:33 says, "For we have a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So our treasure is not in the stuff around us or in the, you know, in the connection of the community that we're part of. It's found in Jesus. I want to say, isn't he awesome? You know, every Sunday we proclaim that. He's majestic. He's sufficient. His love for us. These things, friends, they are not just passing emotions that we tap into. These things will last for eternity. And Jesus is the ultimate meaning of your life and mine. He's the one who brings us purpose in this life and in the life to come. You see, you and I were made for joyful service to Jesus. That's what our purpose is. God is so powerful and loving. He made everything. And when we see things from his perspective, when we live out our life in relationship to him and serving him, when we see about life is about God and not about us, it's sort of like a revolution happens. A light is switched on. We see things from a radically different point of view. So, if that's the case, and it is, what is the focal point of your life? We don't base our life on what we do on this earth, what we can see and touch and feel and sense. Now, I don't pretend to be have great understanding of human psychology, but I am a feeling sort of guy. I'm sure Catherine could agree with that. And when my emotions are out of whack, people know about it, particularly my family, and unfortunately they can tell me what is happening to me. And I've discovered when this happens to me, I've usually forgotten what's important. I've been distracted from my purpose. I've lost sight of Jesus. I've let the pressures and disappointments of life hijack my thoughts and my actions. Have you ever got up from the lounge room and gone into the kitchen? And you've gone to do something or get something, you presume, and you get to the kitchen and you think, "And what am I here for?" And so you go to the sink, you go to the pantry, it's always in the fridge, so have a look there, and you're standing and think, What am I here for? And you think, if it doesn't come to you, go back to the lounge room and figure out what you're doing. Am I the only one that does this? Has anyone else done this? About half of you? The rest of you are lying, I'm sure. All right? We forget, don't we? Sometimes. And with the passing of age, it's a bit more than sometimes. All right? But we forget what we're doing sometimes. You know what? I think it's not just we forget what we're doing at home. Sometimes we forget what we're doing in life. Yeah, sure, if it's me, if I've forgotten, you'll still see me running around frantically doing things, no doubt. But I've forgotten what I've been put on this planet for. And friends, I need to be reminded that I am here to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. That's my purpose. And that's your purpose here. Now, every Sunday morning, I love the music that you sing here. It's beautiful, and we have some very talented musicians here in this church. And they're good. They're awesome. I want to say that although, you know, the music is good here, and it is, and it's awesome, but Jesus is more awesome. Okay? We're here because we just want to say, isn't God good to me? And we do this by singing praises to God. And we, I don't know if you've ever analysed our songs, a lot of them are ballads telling us a story. So we're reminding each other what the salvation story is and what it means to us. And we give God glory. And it's really nice when we can praise God together here at Stanhope every Sunday morning. It is. And we mean it. It's not just an emotional thing. However, when we go back home, and tomorrow, Monday, here we say, Jesus, you're so good. But tomorrow morning, something happens. We strive and stress as if life depends on us. We make life out to be about pleasing ourselves. About accomplishing our goals, about things have got to happen in our own strength. And as I said, we sit here on Sunday morning and say, may God be praised. It's Him alone. He's brought us to life and He gave me direction. And yet somehow something happens when we try to do the steering of our own life. And the results are plain and the Bible makes it clear. We worry. There's often depression. There's fear and anxiety, maybe pride or anger or impatience or envy or bitterness or slander or confusion or tensions. Friends, I know we don't want those, and somehow when we drive our lives, it ends up somewhere in that camp. And I'd far more prefer to have rest, to have peace, to have clarity, to have joy and to have purpose. When Jesus is my focal point, I understand a lot clearer. It's not like I understand everything, but I understand what I'm on about and what life's about. And the things I don't understand, I can put in perspective. And so, when I do that, when I focus on Jesus, my priorities are put into place and I find that my direction becomes God's direction. And we are given strength in the struggles that we often have in life. Jesus says in Luke 9:23, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it." The early church believed Jesus' words when he declared that. They, in fact, took up their cross. They took Jesus' words literally. They knew who Jesus was. And if you turned up that classic Christian book, the Fox's Book of Martyrs, you'll know that of the 12 apostles, this is how they ended their life here on earth. In AD 44, King Herod ordered James the Greater to be thrust through with a sword. It was the first of the apostles to be martyred, and so the bloodbath began. We know Luke, he was hung by the neck from an olive tree in Greece. Doubting Thomas was pierced with a pine spear tortured with red hot plates and buried alive in southern India. In AD 54, the proconsul of the Hierapolis had Philip tortured and crucified because his wife was converted to Christianity by hearing Philip preach. And as Philip was crucified, he was still preaching the gospel from that cross. Matthew was stabbed in the back in Ethiopia. Bartholomew was flogged to death in Armenia. James the Just, he was thrown from the southeastern pinnacle of the temple of 30 metres and somehow survived. I don't know what sort of survival it was. And then the mob came and beat him, flogged him, and he died. Simon the Zealot, he was crucified by governor of Syria in AD 74. Judas Thaddeus was beaten to death with sticks in Mesopotamia. Matthias, who replaced Judas Iscariot, was stoned to death and then beheaded. And Peter, he was crucified and crucified upside down. And John the Beloved is the only disciple to have died of natural causes. And this is only because he survived his own execution, where a cauldron of boiling oil could not kill him. The Emperor Diocletian exiled him to the Isle of Patmos, where he stayed there for some time and had that vision of the Book of the Revelation. You see, friends, the apostles knew Jesus, and they were prepared to take his word literally. Now, I'm not suggesting that, you know, we're going to literally die for our faith in Christ here in Stanhope. I mean, it's 2014. We live in Australia. I don't know anyone who's died for their faith in Christ in this part of the world. But what Jesus is actually calling us to do is calling not to die, you know, physically, although that might be the call for many. But he is calling us to die to ourselves. If Jesus hung on the cross for us, as, you know, we just told this morning in a book review, we certainly can carry our cross daily for him. Friends, this just isn't our responsibility. This is our privilege. And nothing less than serving him daily would be robbing God the glory. We won't find our purposes in life unless we die to ourselves. We won't find ourselves until we devote ourselves to the cause of Jesus Christ. So when we've been looking at Jesus brings purpose, he certainly does. And he brings purpose, friends. Let us take up that purpose daily. Let us be fully devoted to Jesus and not be distracted, not live in our own strength, but serve him and him alone. Let's pray. Lord, there is so much happening in our world, and we so often get distracted and forget you and the purpose you have for our lives. Jesus, we just want to say this morning that you are awesome, so powerful, so loving, and so merciful to us. You have created us and given us life and life to the full, both now and on into all eternity. We thank you that you have come into our hearts. And Lord God, our time in this world is very brief and uncertain. And you have given us the wonderful privilege of serving you in our day and generation. So Lord God, we ask that you would help us to die to ourselves and to live for you each day. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.